Chapter 20. Lexi's heart hammered in her chest. Too late, she realized they'd made a mistake coming into the closed-off tent. No one could see them. But would they hear her over the din of the event if she screamed?
Don't even think about screaming, or the old lady gets it, Brad said as if reading her mind.
Old lady?
Nans bristled at Brad.
Shut it.
Brad let out a low whistle, and a flap on the other side of the tent opened. A large man wheeled in dollies, stacked with boxes and burlap sacks. Lexi's blood froze when she recognized him as the man with the plaid shirt in the picture. The killer. Nans, Ida, Ruth, and Helen stood frozen in their tracks. Lexi's heart jerked as Brad started toward the ladies. She lunged toward Brad to prevent him from getting to them, but plaid shirt came at her from the left. She turned to the left, leaping at him to catch him off guard, but he lowered his head and smashed into her midsection, sending her plummeting to the ground. She kicked out and heard a grunt as her foot connected with hard bone, his knee. It merely slowed him for a second, and he reached out and grabbed her by the hair, pulling her head back. Lexi felt his arm squeeze around her neck as her clouding vision registered Brad advancing on Nans and the ladies. She struggled against him, but he was like a brick house. She tried to cry out for Brad not to hurt Nans, but the hold on her throat was too tight. And then everything went dark. Lexi opened her eyes, but she couldn't see a thing. She was rolled up in something, and she was moving. Then the movement stopped. She strained to hear something, anything, that would give her a clue as to where she was, but all she could hear was the sound of her heart thumping in her ears and heavy, clanking metal, like chains. Next thing she knew, she was falling, a fall which ended in an explosion of pain in her right shoulder and hip. Then the sound of a door slamming shut and more metal clanking. Where was she? She tried to sit up, but was restrained by whatever it was that held her. She wiggled, feeling the coarse fabric that was loosely around her. Raising her hands up, she realized she wasn't rolled up in something. She was in a burlap sack. Fumbling for the top, she managed to push it open and poke her head through. She was in what looked like some sort of dark, windowless shack. She could barely make out four large sacks lying beside her. Nans. She wriggled out of her sack and ran over to the one beside her. She could hear grunts from inside and see movement. At least they were alive. She undid the strings and looked in.
Where the hell are we?
Nans blinked up at her. I have no idea. In some building.
Hey, help me out of here,
a muffled voice said from one of the other sacks, and Lexi rushed over to free Ruth while Nans unwrapped Ida. Helen managed to get out of hers by herself, and they all stood looking around.
What is this place?
Ruth asked. Anyone have a light? Helen rummaged in her purse, producing a box of matches. Lexi took them, striking one against the side. The smell of sulfur spiced the air, and the match provided a swatch of light which Lexi used to look around the place. It's some sort of storage shed. She walked toward the rows of shelving, looking at the boxes. Bringing the match closer to a box, she read the writing. Her heart seized, and she dropped the match, stepping on it as fast as she could.
Shit! Lexi, dear, there's no need for that kind of language,
Nan said. This place is full of fireworks. I could have blown us up. Lexi's hand shook as she picked up the match.
Oh, this must be where they store the fireworks. I think the ones they are using for tonight are already set up, though. So these must be extra,
Ruth said.
Why do you think they brought us here?
Ida asked.
I heard Brad say something about getting us out of the way until after the contest, when they can dispose of us.
Helen rubbed her hands on her upper arms.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to wait for them to come and dispose of us,
Nan said.
Let's see if we can ram the door open.
Ruth went over to the door and pushed her shoulder against it. It didn't budge.
Let me try.
Lexi took a few running steps and leapt into the door. It opened a tiny crack, but the door was solid and secured by something. She remembered the sound of metal chains.
I think it's chained shut. We'll never get it open.
Lexi felt her stomach drop. How were they going to get out of there? Lexi pressed her ear to the door. She couldn't hear anything.
Does anyone know how far we are from the field?
A chorus of no's answered her. She pounded on the door.
Help!
Ida stared at her.
Lexi, I doubt anyone can hear us. The killers aren't that stupid.
Are they?
Wait a minute.
Nance turned around and squinted at the shelves.
Give me those matches. I want to see what we have to work with here.
No way. You could blow this thing sky high and us with it. Lexi shoved the matchbox into her pocket.
How about we just use the flashlight app on my cell phone?
Ruth held out her phone, and everyone stared at her. Lexi felt her eyebrows shoot up to her hairline.
You have a cell phone? We can just call someone for help.
Oh, right. Ruth fiddled with the phone.
Ugh, no cell service.
Damn.
Shine the flashlight over here, Nan said.
Ruth pointed the end of her cell phone at the shelf, and a beam of light illuminated the boxes. Nance walked down the rows, telling Ruth where to point. Finally, she found a box she liked and picked some firecrackers out of it, then brought them back to the front of the shed.
Ida, do you have a tube of lipstick?
Nance asked.
Sure.
Ida rummaged in her purse, then produced a gold-colored metal lipstick.
Thanks, Nan said. Does anyone have any duct tape?
Helen reached into her purse.
Right here.
Nan grabbed the duct tape, and Lexi watched in fascination as she ripped the lipstick out of its container and threw it on the floor.
Hey, what are you doing?
Ida frowned down at the lipstick.
That's my favorite shade, Coral Passion.
All for a good cause, Nan said as she ripped open the fireworks, pouring the powder into the lipstick container top, then jamming the bottom on.
Lexi, see if you can find a nail and something hard to pierce a hole in this.
Oh, I have some nails in my purse, Ruth offered.
Lexi found a large rock in the corner and set the lipstick on the floor. She took a nail from Ruth and balanced it on top, then bashed it with the rock to pierce through the metal.
Perfect.
Nance ripped off some duct tape with her teeth and used it to seal the tube closed. Then she threaded the fuse from the fireworks into the hole Lexi had made in the top. Nance held the modified lipstick out to show them.
Well, who wants to light it?
Light it? That thing could blow us up. Lexi stepped back. Nans waved her hand.
Oh, don't be silly. There's not a lot in here. I figure we wedge it in the crack of the door, and it will be enough to blow the lock off, and we can get out of here.
Lexi felt her stomach drop as she looked at Ruth, Ida, and Helen. It sounded dangerous to her. But waiting around for Brad and plaid shirt seemed pretty dangerous, too.
Okay,
she shrugged and cracked the door open. Stick it in. Nan stuck the lipstick in the crack, and Lexi let go so the force of the door would hold it in place.
You guys stand back.
She motioned to the other side of the room as she took the matches from her pocket. Holding her breath, she struck the match, then backed up as far away from the lipstick as she could while still being able to touch the match to the fuse. Her heart leapt into her throat as it caught, and she ran back to where Nans and the ladies were huddled. She turned away from the door and covered her ears. Boom! The door blew open, and the five of them tumbled out of the shack, coughing and batting at the thick smoke that hung in the air. Lexi tilted her head to the side, trying to get the ringing in her ears to stop. It started to subside, but was replaced with a low drone which got louder and louder until she realized what it was. Motorcycles. Rat, Snake, Weasel, Bug, and Spike came roaring out of the woods behind them.
Get on! Marchese's getting away!
Lexi looked at Nans and the ladies, who shrugged, and then hopped on the back of the motorcycles as they raced off in the direction of the chili contest. Lexi looked back over her shoulder as they sped off, and her heart clenched. The shed door, it's on fire, she shouted. Rat glanced back over his shoulder, but kept racing forward. We don't have time to go back. Marchese's making a run for it.